cowboy on them until like you both come and then you win. Like that's
like,
the game.
Like as you progressively fight, does the clothes come off?
I don't think not that I saw. Unfortunately, that's what I thought I was in store for. But what
I used to, back when I was single. And it was always like when you're first off like dating somebody and stuff, like I have the confidence to be like, okay, so we've talked this long, do you just like want to go up and bang or something? But chicks don't dig that. So I'm like, do you want to play strip Mortal Kombat? And they're like, what the hell?
Really?
What's that, a fucking thing?
Dude, I would rule.
They're like,
dude,
well, what's strip like... Mortal Kombat? Well, I'm really good at Mortal Kombat. So what strip Mortal Kombat is...
Josh, do you want to play strip Mortal Kombat?
Every time I win... they remove an article of clothing. And every time that they win, I remove an article of clothing. I would have them naked within minutes. And then by that time, they're like, oh, I don't want to play anymore. And I'm like, well, do you want to play with this? And my pants would be off, and we'd go for it.
That is like the nerdiest and slickest thing I've ever heard.
It worked. So far, it's worked 100% of the time.
How do you even get women to like go for that is my thing.
I go like, for the kind of women who enjoy playing video games. And every girl, not every girl, but like a lot of the girls of our generation that are my age had like an older brother or sibling or friend
like
who had fucking Sega. Oh. And they played Mortal Kombat. Like, oh my God, I remember Mortal Kombat. I mean, granted, you can play like Strip Sonic 2 if they're into fucking that, where every time I win in the verses, you fucking take clothes off. I guess...
I don't even know how to like position myself to ask that question, though.
Well, the trick is you find something that you both have a mutual understanding of.
And is that true?
And something that you're better at, and it's called quid pro quo. And unfortunately, it's a very terrible fucking thing to say, because you put yourself in a position of power for that. But I wouldn't go anywhere that she wouldn't want to go. So, obviously, it was just a way to break the ice, because...
What's with the look, Paul?
No, I'm just, it's a lot to process.
Paul had like a wild look in his eyes.
Try it. I mean, it's like you've already passed that point, I'm assuming, in your relationship.
Yeah, several. And
we all know Nate's passed
glorious
that point
times
in this relationship, because we're fucking sitting in
I'm
it.
So sitting after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basting in it gently.
So, welcome to the podcast. I'm Nate. Oh, they're fucking looking at each other. Who's going first?
I'm Paul.
I'm Josh. Oh.
Ball wins.
Flawless. I wanted to do it at the same time.
No, take off your shirt.
No.
What? No, you don't. That's we're not playing strict podcast.
I have to declare the rules before I play. Okay. Yeah.
And this week we're going to be talking about Dust and Elysian Tale. I'm pretty sure it's Elysian, right?
It's Elysian.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me. And how many hours of this game did you play, Josh?
A few.
Did you look at your Steam to see how many?
I have somewhere between 3 and 5.
How far into the game did you get?
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Of why I didn't progress the story further than I should have.
Yeah.
I have it on Xbox 360, so I beat the fucking thing.
Yeah. I played 2 hours of it. I got to chapter 2.
You beat the first boss and you're like, oh.
You know, that's the funny thing, right? I beat the first boss and then the sad piano music started playing. I was like, fuck this! And I turned it off.
I did not know this game was going to be about furries.
You didn't know that?
It's not about furries. It just has furries in it.
Oh, yeah, it's not like...
I was okay with it, like, and then the talking sword came, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
I was like, all right.
That was a bit much.
I'll fucking deal. I'll dig it. And then the sword's guardian came.
Yeah. Sword's guardian, are you just talking about Dust, or? No, sorry, no, you're talking about Fidget.
Fidget, that's the name. Fidget's,
yeah. I like Fidget.
I don't like fucking chibi shit all up in my stuff. That game is unapologetically Korean.
She's basically Navi, but still.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing I do want to mention, though, about that game, the one thing that actually fucking blew my mind about that game is the fucking art style.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, the environment.
Looks fantastic. Like, I love the way it looked. I really enjoyed the... Everything's hand-drawn. A lot of... Like, the guy who made it, I think it was one guy... who designed it and wrote the story. Mm-hmm. And then he got some people to do the music and publish it through Microsoft.
Now, when you say hand-drawn, every time you... Because you said that on the last episode? No. Maybe those episodes... I can't remember. You said that in some other game, but... it might have been Don't Starve. But you're referring to, like, the concept art that they draw. Like, they make concept art for the game, and then they kind of... Like,
essentially, what an unhand-drawn game is they get a 3D model that's blank, and then they paint it like a Gundam. Like a Gundam figure. I'm gonna use that because I love robots. Mm-hmm. And so they... so almost as much as Butts. But so they get... they get like their model and they just kind of paste the texture, and someone designs the texture, and then that's what they put on there. And it was based off the concept art. Hand drawn is like they took one of those tablet things and they drew it in Photoshop, and that's the game. Mm-hmm. It's not this is the concept art. Let's then build off the concept art, take that original idea, fit it to the 3D model, and put it in the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's a good looking game. Like that's the thing that made me want to play it more, was just to see what the rest of the environments were. But like you, the part that was killing it for me was I just did not like the NPCs in the game. And part of that is because it's borderline furry. And part of it is just because the characters don't really match the world, to me at least. I mean, the world is very vibrant. But, and, you know, there's plenty of room for, like, cartoonish characters. These characters looked like borderline, like, Looney Tunes at some points.
It's like Korean anime.
I was just like...
Yeah, but, I mean, the voice acting for it is spot on. Everything looks good.
Yeah, I kind of skipped through most of the voice acting.
The voice acting in the game is amazing. Yeah. Like,
some fidgets.
It is. It is
stop
good.
Hating on Fidge!
It is. The voice acting is decent. Funny. Yeah.
I guess I just wanted more emotion from the sword.
The
sword talks like this and very affirmative.
He's like the fucking Pokédex, yeah. But I don't really like the idea of the talking sword, but all the other characters in the game were awesome. I mean, there was even like a Resident Evil 4 Easter egg in there.
That was really cool. Yeah, the purple salesman guy in the little shack.
Yeah.
He's like a direct reference to the salesman from Resident Evil 4, because he says hello or hello stranger,
yeah,
or something.
But he also,
and then Fidget comments on he'll buy it at a high price, and he's like yeah, I will. And he has a gravelly voice and everything. I was like, nice. And then obviously there's the wall chicken, Castlevania
mysterious
reference.
Wall chicken.
Yeah.
And you can find like all these other like Easter eggs. Like you find the guy from Spelunky and all kinds of stuff. Yeah, and the cages. Mm. That's what's in the secret cages, is like characters from other games.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I picked up Mrs. Meat Boy or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Super Meat Boy's girlfriend.
Bandage Girl. Yeah. That shit I know.
Yeah,
I know all about fucking Edmund McMillan's games.
I thought the game was really cool. I mean, the storyline is your standard stuff, but for an indie game, the story was really well done.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Like the whole game screams indie game, but it's really well done. Like the voice acting, spot on. The animation, fucking gorgeous and amazing. I mean, it's not as Metroidvania as everyone says it is. Like it's not. When I played it, I didn't immediately think, oh, fuck, Metroidvania, awesome. I was just playing it like an action
beat-em-up game. Well, I think what people define as Metroidvania is when it's a 2D side-scroller that has
a map screen
and a world
where
you can travel from one destination to another just by continuously
moving.
Which
is like every adventure
directions
platform
or going
game.
Up and down.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's like,
what
it's
other
like
adventure platform
like
games
that.
Are there? Like, which one are you thinking of, Josh?
A lot of them, man.
Okay.
I can't think of it. You want a fucking title out of me, I'm not going to give it because I'm generalizing.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
A lot of like 2D side scroller adventure games now have that Metroid, because Metroid was successful. It's fun to play.
Just like everything's fucking roguelike.
God, fuck.
every dungeon crawler is roguelike in every action adventure game.
Honestly, though, I get what the term roguelike means now. It basically means if you go through a game and you die, you have to restart.
Well, it's okay. That randomized events. So every time you start the game, it's different.
Okay.
That's a big thing. And usually just kind of like a steep difficulty curve.
For states and purposes, nothing
there's never
about
an
this,
easy roguelike
nothing
game.
About this yeah. game is roguelike. And also, fucking game is hard. That is my biggest problem with this game. Is
oh, yeah, because as soon as you learn that.
Zero challenge in this game. Do you know how easy it was to get 1,000 combo for me?
Well, yeah, see, you know, when you said that, I was like, I need to figure out how, or I need to try and do it, because I always got up to 100, and the reason why is because I would always use Fidget's ability and then spin it, and I would only use it one time, and then just beat the shit out of everybody, and then I figured out, if you just keep throwing Fidget's little attacks, and then keep spinning it, you rack up, like, 600 yep. combo in, yep. like
there's
10
a part,
seconds.
Yep. There's a part in Archer yeah. Pass, which is, like, the second place you do, it's got the big statue of the Archer in the background, when you're gonna go see the blacksmith. You know where the area of the blacksmith is? If you go up, there's a part where you come up to this part, there's just like 1,000 flying things.
The like fire bombs like from Final Fantasy? Is that what you're talking about?
No, like dragons. They're like dragons.
Oh. Okay.
They're flying things.
Well,
yeah,
you were
fire?
Saying the blacksmith when you go to the mountain to find the blacksmith.
Yeah,
right?
When you know, there's the bomb things. No, it's not the bomb things. It's after okay. you get past those, and you come up to this one part, and there's all these like flying dragons up in the air, and there's like 100 of them.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is jump up and just spam Dustworm. You don't even have to spam, you have to hold it.
Yeah.
And then you just start spitting out her fire, like her magic thing, and then all of a sudden you just like it's like proliferates everything around there, because I'll like kite them with a dust storm, barely I'll like nerf my character's damage down, and I would just do that just back and forth between them, just like super fast,
yeah,
and then I would hit the I would hit her combo, and then it would just rack up this combo where I'd go from 100 to 700 in a second, and then if I carried it over to the ledge fast enough, I got to the ground troops, which was even more combo,
mm-hmm.
and it was just immense. Like I was just like, this game is too easy, and I ended up going from like the very beginning of the game. That's why I stopped playing the game, as I went from level like 2 to like level 12 in 15 minutes, just from racking up combos and getting the experience bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
So and like I felt like I was gonna like ruin the game for me, because I'm over leveling and everything else is just gonna be a breeze, and I didn't feel like sitting down with this cakewalk fucking game, and I also had gone through the first like 3 hours of the game, and I didn't feel like restarting it.
Well, yeah, because it's got like 4 different difficulty modes.
Yeah, I was.
See, I played it on tough. Yeah. I played it on, and all it is, you know, this is one of the things I hate the most about games with difficulty settings. When they start a game off with like 4 difficulty settings, all they are is like a difference in whether or not how much damage you deal or how much damage you take. Not right. Or how many enemies there might be. It doesn't really boost the challenge in any way. It just punishes you for fucking up a little bit.
Or how else would they boost the difficulty, though, is my question.
Well, we could fucking talk about Dark Souls. You want to do that?
Well, I mean, yeah, like, but even then, like...
Dark Souls, like, the difficulty in that game is based... It doesn't have a difficulty setting, but the game could be difficult. It could be easier depending on which way you play the game, or if you're choosing to. And that's like, and the thing
that's
cool about
choice,
that,
though.
It yeah, that's the point. It's the choice of the player to figure out whether or not, like, if they think, like, say, if they're an easy way would be to shoot creatures with bows all day, but say that's not really exciting for you and you don't find that very fun. You can switch over to a sword. It'll be a little bit harder, but you'll have more fun. And that's the way they kind of like balance that game out. Because some people like to wear heavy armor and, you know, you can't roll as fast, but you feel way more badass walking around in the heavy armor, like taking blows, like choice blows. You're like really kind of like trying to negate the amount of damage you take without rolling.
See, I don't understand that, because I like to win.
If you like to win, then you fucking play a wizard. That's the whole point.
I didn't play a wizard.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you want it to be easier, all you do is you kind of, like, choose a different way to play the game.
Remember that time, the first...
You find the way
the first time I played the game with you, which was the first time I played the game ever, Dark Souls,
mm-hmm.
I played as the Starved or whatever it was.
See, that's like... It's not one of the hardest, but it's one of the... I don't know. I guess it's one of the harder start classes to start, just because all it does is that that character starts off at a higher level, and the way that game works is that every level has a predetermined amount of souls you need to spend on your next skill point. So if you're level 9, it already costs like 6,000 souls compared to being level 1, and it only costs like 1,000. You see? So when you're playing that guy, he has really balanced stats, but he doesn't have anything that's significantly good about him, and it costs more souls to get him going.
He's got a rocking body, because he doesn't eat.
I don't know, like, I see a place for both. Yeah. Because, I mean, Dark Souls is not a game for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody should try it. But it's not for everybody.
Well, yeah, it's not for everybody.
That's what I mean. So like, there's a place for like the balanced difficulty settings.
Well, it, regardless of whether or not Dark Souls is a game for everybody, the way they implement difficulty in that game,
I would not want every game to be like Dark Souls.
Well, I'm not saying playing a hard game like Dark Souls. I'm saying the way they implement being able to play the game easier or harder by playing the game and not choosing a fucking option at the beginning of the game.
Fucking Dark Souls is just Call
Because you, of Duty. As you're playing the game, if you feel like, oh man, this sword isn't working out for me, maybe I should switch this fucking bow, and the game's easier, and you start making progress, that's a better way to adjust difficulty in the game, because the player doesn't feel like they chose a difficulty setting, they felt like they changed their playstyle.
I feel like you can still do that regardless of difficulty setting.
And they didn't, and in that game, they also, they don't add like a hard mode where all the enemies just hit harder.
Yeah, you can do that in a lot of games. Like, example, you can do like any first person shooter, like you fucking go through with a goddamn chain gun, level an entire level, and you're like, that was easy. So you reboot the level, and like, this time I'm only going to use a knife.
Yeah. Oh, you know, like another way that I do like some games that do implement, like, if they do have like settings, like, or whatever. I guess I'll take Ninja Gaiden, for example. Oh my god. He's jerking off over here. Josh. Stop! Oh, okay. There he goes.
Frothed everywhere.
Ninja Gaiden, it implemented, like, every time the difficulty got higher, it didn't make it so you take more damage or they dealt more damage, but they added new enemies in certain areas that kind of made you had to rethink your strategy for that zone, which I like that type of difficulty adjustment too.
But Ninja Gaiden also did the health and shit
thing. I hate stat adjustments for difficulty.
Yeah, stat adjustments, I mean, it doesn't, because I think that like,
because if you're still good at the game, it's not going to be a fucking problem for you. It's just the time you get hit, you're like, oh, I took more damage than usual. I should be careful. Well, I mean, that's not like, difficulty.
You were, like, Ninja Gaiden does require a very vast amount of skill.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're playing fucking Master Ninja mode, it's almost a fucking cakewalk if you have the skill to get to that point.
Mm.
So you need the stat adjustment.
Well, like I think I mentioned, I don't know if it, I can't remember. It might have been Podcast Zero or some other podcast. But I said, I think in Ninja Gaiden 2, when you start out the game on like Master or Hard or whatever it was, the ninjas now throw, like, you never face these ninjas in the regular game, but the ninjas all have rocket launchers and they have exploding shuriken right from the moment you press fucking start into the game.
It was Ninja Gaiden Black.
Well, Ninja Gaiden 2. Like, that's the one I remember the most because I beat Ninja Gaiden Black, or Ninja Gaiden, the first Ninja Gaiden for Xbox, before it started getting remade into, like, Black Enigma and all that shit. And I beat that on hard mode. And then Ninja Gaiden 2 came out, and then I primarily played that one. So, Ninja Gaiden 2 is the one I remember the most, sort of. I remember the general layout of the first game a lot, but I remember playing Ninja Gaiden 2 a lot more, even though I can't remember what the fucking settings were.
I like certain games that have the difficulty setting that adjusts the level the AI learns.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of another game that isn't Arma, because Arma has the difficulty like that. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, where the AI learns that, oh, well, if he's attacking with this gun and this way, if you keep doing the same fucking thing, they're going to be like, all right, let's not do that last thing that we just did. Let's do something else. Yeah. And then the game will try to take other algorithms from it, like flanking algorithms or something like that, and run it. And then, you have improved AI reaction speed, which isn't necessarily a stat boost. It's more like a using more of your PC boost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it uses more thought processing power to instantly see, oh, that's a threat, and take it out. Like, you know, in certain games when you play on a lower difficulty and you're like, you can sneak right in front of an enemy and like flip them off and you'd be like, who was that? Did you hit something?
Yeah.
But like in harder difficulties, they like fucking see you coming a mile away because your dumbass steps on a stick and it's like underneath a torch. They're like, oh, I see that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, certain shit like that.
I mean, now you bring it up, something that I don't like about difficulty settings in FPS games is, like, if you crank it up real high, like, certain enemies just fucking, without even possibly being able to see you, can fucking shoot you right in the head from, like, miles away.
Fucking 420 no-scope like, it?
Yeah, it's just some fucking unfair shit. You're like, dude.
Sometimes they do get a little unfair.
Yeah, and
I'll
admit
that. But like,
well, yeah, they just crank it up to where like enemy.
You know what game I think has one of the most
possible
perfect, to me perfect, difficulty settings is XCOM. Because XCOM not only does it have like a small stat boost with the aliens, like they have more health.
Yeah,
but they also have better technology at the start. The aliens are going to do everything they fucking can to take over the world. They're not just going to like have here's a story, play it. You know, it progresses. The aliens will be like, it's invasion time, and they're going to attack you with fucking sectoids right off the bat.
Yeah,
or mectoids, I think they're called. And,
you know, like the thing with XCOM, because I did play it on its hardest difficulty setting, was the hardest part about that difficulty setting is getting started. Once you can get started and get established, it's not that hard.
Yeah, once you get a groove, it's not that hard, and the game doesn't scale up.
It's
at that
super
point.
Fucking punishing in the beginning, though, because it's like you have to have good luck to not what was it? You have to like stave off an invasion. You have to hope that it doesn't come up before you can get, like, your first satellite built within a certain amount of time. And you gotta hope for the right layout for your base, because you know how that sometimes it's randomly generated certain areas that you have to carve out or whatever.
Well, in harder difficulties, they also don't start you off with, like, an officer thing. Mm-hmm. They don't give you an easy start.
Yeah.
I also do, like, games that just are outwardly difficult right off the start. There's no difficulty setting on them.
Yeah.
Which you're like, in your mind, you're like, why didn't you like Dark Souls, Josh? I didn't like Dark Souls because the character walks around like they don't fucking know how to walk half the time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, off topic, Dust and Legion Tale. That game is not difficult at all.
Yeah, I just...
I don't know, what difficulty did you play it on, Paul?
Played it on tough.
You played it on tough? Did you find it tough?
No, I didn't. But then again, that doesn't bother me that much because I don't mind. Like, as long as there's enough, like, to keep me playing to find the next bit of story, I'm fine for most games.
So the story, since I...
That's what's more important to me when I'm playing a game now, I feel like.
Well, yeah, story is important to me, but the thing that turned me off from Dust is that I felt like I already knew where the fucking story was going. And so I wasn't that interested, and I didn't really find Dust that interesting of a character.
That's almost like everything for us now. We've played games forever and watched like a shitload of movies.
Well, there's still games where there's like surprising moments. Like if you take Final Fantasy 7 and 8 or something, and you look at those characters, like they're obviously... I'm not going to praise the games, actually. I'm using them as a reference to another one.
I like 8.
Yeah, I like 8, but my point was is that those characters are very stoic, and they kind of have like close to no personality. Like they don't say much, and it's kind of like borderline the type of thing that Nintendo does with like Samus Aran or Link or you know just the silent heroes, but they give Squall and Cloud like a backstory, and there's like I don't really feel like there's like they're just being way too stoic all the time.
I thought they were being too big of whiny bitches personally. Yeah,
but so in comparison to a game like Lost Odyssey, where when I played that I thought it was gonna be more of the same because that character is very stoic and very quiet and broody. Yeah,
but he has a goddamn reason to be.
He has a really good reason to, and you actually see a lot of emotion from this character as the game goes on.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't fucking played the game, like the tears will flow when he fucking finds his daughter.
Yeah, it's... you see, yeah, okay, spoilers.
You see a lot of emotion from Squall towards the end of the game.
Like, he has two emotions. Those characters had two emotions. The whole, we gotta defeat this enemy.
No, because he has this whole, like, change of heart thing when it comes to, like...
enemies. So at enemies,
Cypher,
he's like,
and Rinoa, when he goes to save her. He goes into fucking space.
You know the space that game?
Yeah.
I never Fantasy fucking 8, played yeah. it. I'm criticizing. I've never
Final,
played it.
Final Fantasy, I don't... I tried... Final Fantasy VII, I tried playing. I just was not into that one. Like, everybody fucking praises it.
I'm not
I
as much into VII. Yeah. The coolest 8, part about 7 is when you dress up like a prostitute.
Yeah. Which is weird, but...
it's like the first fucking disc. Yeah. It's like your second mission is to dress up like a girl.
Yeah, but I praise Lost Odyssey a lot because the characters in that game are very, like, dynamic and have wide range of... Like, they all have very unique stories, and it's very emotional.
You know me, yeah. I don't like the... You know, for a fucking tabletop gamer, I really hate the JPG, JRPG setup.
Yeah.
That game, I really enjoyed it. I really did.
There are a few that are really, really good if you know where to look. Like Legend of Dragoon on PlayStation.
Really 1. Wanted to play that, but never did.
Legend of Dragoon is awesome. It's very good. Mm. Chrono Cross, which was the quote unquote sequel to Chrono Trigger, that no one fucking played.
Yeah,
I like the Fire Emblem.
I honestly haven't even really played Chrono Trigger, even though everybody keeps saying it's one of the best RPGs.
It's worth the hype.
I did play a game called Final Fantasy Legends, which is basically you climb a tower, killing all these deities, then you get to the very top, and then you kill God.
Which is the plot of every Final Fantasy ever.
Yeah, that's the thing I like the most about Final Fantasy games, is that it's all like deicide games. Yeah.
Because that's even Final Fantasy VIII, you kill like this sorceress from the future, which
one of the things
God,
I do
you know?
Praise about the Final Fantasy universe at any game is the design of the enemies, the design of the bosses, the design of the characters. They're just so otherworldly, and it really makes you think that you're like they're telling you something original, even though every single one of those stories is essentially the same.
Yeah,
it's all about loss and overcoming adversity and getting to the top and killing something, and then that's not. And then that's
killing
not,
something
that's,
big.
That's,
I just don't know what it is.
That's not what you were supposed to kill the whole time. There's the secret boss, the whole boss that's been pulling the strings from the wizard. It's Wizard of Oz.
That is fucking true. That is so fucking true. There's always a secret boss at the end of Final Fantasy.
Any Final Fantasy past like 9, maybe some of 10. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not a fan.
Yeah. Like fucking Blitzball, bro.
Dude, I like 10. Blitzball's 10 cool. is my favorite. I'm going to
really?
Be fucking straight
see,
up with that.
8's my favorite, but I think that's nostalgia talking.
I like 10. Well, see, 10 was the first one I played, but the thing I liked about 10, like in comparison to the other games, is that Titus is a character that talks a lot to an annoying extent, And he's kind of a wimp, but he like that kind of makes him more interesting to me as
a
hero of the game.
What I like about Final Fantasy X is Titus is a foil to every other character in that game.
Yeah, everybody else is fucking badasses,
and
he's just kind of a kid.
He makes them better. That's what a foil does.
Well, I kind of like 9 for that, because in 9, the main character
is Zidane.
It's
also how you multiply parentheses.
Foil. He talked a lot, but he was also like... He was a cool dude.
I've been meaning to play 9. I own it. I just
it's all chibi
it.
And kind of cool looking, actually.
Well, yeah, I've played a little bit, like an hour. Yeah. But it's some like when you're trying to play an RPG, like
you
especially
really
a
JRPG, have to get into it.
You have to be dedicated to wanting to play invest. A fucking long ass game because it's going
to
go on for like 40 hours.
Yeah, so. I mean it's worth the playthrough, and I'm not going to say I didn't like 10. It just wasn't like I could tell from 10 on. That my old Final Fantasy was gone.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't going to be the same. And it hasn't been since 10.
Yeah.
Well, you just refused to get on Final Fantasy's level. I played the Final Fantasy
13, 12 or
13?
13 is the one with lightning.
Yeah, I played 13.
Yeah.
Fuck
12 is fucking boring.
It was stupid boring, but I thought lightning was stupid hot, so I continued.
No. But now they're on like Final Fantasy 13, 12. Like,
yeah.
Like the re-lightning.
The re-lightning name.
Like, I don't know. I don't like it.
The
perfect
storm. Or
yeah, right? No shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
That's a game all about weird-ass time travel. The one thing I do love about that one is the cutscenes in that game were a lot of them were really fucking exciting.
And yeah.
I like that world that they were in. Granted, it geologically and geographically made zero fucking sense. Like, I had no fucking clue that, like, in this, like, weird-ass city place, and then they go above on the surface to this nice-ass city place, and then they're fucking going through this weird fucking cavern place, and then they come out, and they're in this place, I think it's called, like, Grand Sorn or something like that. No, that's a different game, but it's, like, this, like, untamed fucking wilderness with giant beast, and apparently it's underground somewhere, and there was like these gods or something. I had no fucking clue what was going on.
That's the whole thing time Final I was like Fantasy games, dude. Yeah,
the whole time I was looking at fucking lightning like, look at that butt.
Dude, yeah, like Final Fantasy X when I first played that, I was like, what the fuck is going on in this world?
Because yeah,
you know, you like the like obviously I knew it got transported to a different I thought he got transported to a different area of the world, and then I found out that, oh, he's in the past now or whatever. Or, no, he's in the future. Yeah, and all technology has been taken away. And it took me a long fucking time to figure out that's what was going on, because there's still people with guns, yet everybody was using fucking swords and shit. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And then you find out, like, when they're crossing a river, that there's all this shit underneath the water, and it's all the, it's, like, stuff from the previous cities, and you're like, oh, so this is, like, the fucking future, and it took me fucking 12 hours to figure that fucking out.
It took until you saw the Statue of Liberty at the end of the game to go, you blew it all up!
Yeah.
You blew it all up!
It was some Planet of the Apes shit for sure. No, anyways. Okay, so, Paul, you played the game all the way through, so what's the fucking story? And I want to see if I was pretty right about whether or not my assumptions.
So, in a nutshell, you start off as Dust. Basically, you know, you have amnesia of who you were.
The most basic fucking trope.
Yeah, the most basic. Yeah. So, you start off like that, and then you find, like, a fucking awesome sword.
It finds you.
It finds you. Whatever. Same diff. So,
and it talks.
Yeah, sword talks. He carries it, like, in his underhand, which is weird, but I think that was like a stylistic choice.
Yeah.
And then you meet Fidget, who is super kawaii and just fucking hangs around and makes pop culture references and
constantly. Yeah.
Yeah. So then
she was pretty funny at some point.
I liked her. Yeah. I needed her in the game because she kept things light.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I mean, for how cute the art style is, there's some darker shit that goes on in there.
Mm-hmm.
So you go on through and you meet a bunch of different characters, people who might be like your family and, you know, your friends, stuff like that, that you don't remember them, and they don't remember you, and it's all people whose lives you've affected in the past, but you don't fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually you get to the point where you start piecing shit together, a la every game with amnesia in it ever.
Yep.
And then you find out that you were actually the right-hand man of the main villain. And then presents the fake moral choice of you being a bad guy or being a good guy. And you start, like, and this is all, like, secondhand, because you don't make moral choices in this game. So this is all presented to you in the form of cutscenes. Like, so you're on a rail. So your moral choice is, like, you already know, it's already finite. Like, you're going to the end point.
Can I interrupt real quick and say that something I hated was, like, whenever I started going through a level, and I was like, okay, let's fucking kill some shit. Let's explore this place.
Yeah.
I walk over two screens, cutscene. Walk over the next screen, cutscene. Next screen, cutscene. I'm like, come on.
It breaks the flow a little bit, but I find that nice, because the combat, while it's fun, it can get repetitive.
It can, but it's like they don't give you enough time to get bored of it before they introduce you another cutscene.
Well, that's probably why they do it,
I guess.
To keep you from getting bored of it. Because they know,
there's like a point where it's like right before I get bored, they should introduce a cutscene. But it's like before I even fucking killed like 10 dudes, cutscene, you know?
I guess it's, I don't know, it's story, man.
I know. I know it's primarily supposed to be like an RPG.
But at least
with
it's not like fucking Metal Gear Solid where you're sitting there for like you played for 20 minutes, you sit through an hour and a half cutscene.
Yeah.
Like it's not like that level. But so you get to the end and you figure out, like, you know, obviously the moral choice system is bullshit because you're already your end game is already finite. Like, you can't affect it in any way. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't decide fuck that and be evil. You can't you can't do it. You know, eventually you're the right hand of this evil dude, and then you stop him from committing mass genocide. The end.
Of course. Yeah, that's pretty much what I expected it to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing genocide. You stop them. You were evil in the past.
Blah, yeah, it's blah, nothing earth shattering. But for an indie game, it's presented well.
You know, that happens. I think that happens in like so many fucking Amnesia games. Your character doesn't remember that they're fucking evil, is what it is, or that they were once bad. Like
Star
fucking
Wars
Amnesia, the game,
did it the best.
Huh?
True that. Yeah.
Because it wasn't until the end when it was like halfway through, it's like you were evil, and then you're legitimately forced, like upon you, you have the moral dilemma. You were fucking Revan. Do you want to continue being the super badass majesty, awesome Sith that you were, or continue being a puss-ass fucking Jedi who has knows or zero consequence throughout the world? Either way, you get to end up banging Bast Lashan, so might as well go to the fucking Sith world. I'm just saying, I'm making the choice for you.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, because when I was playing that game, admittedly, I was younger and didn't have, like, the vast storylines under my belt now that I did then. But when I first found out, like, well, shit, I'm fucking Revan. I'm fucking Revan.
Because they, like, build you up the whole fucking game. Like,
holy shit.
They talk about all this badass shit Revan did. They're like, dude, he did all this crazy-ass shit. He came in with a fucking fleet, and he was, like, this super cool Jedi. But he was bad, though. They're like,
he's a bad.
I kind of
want
to meet this guy. Like, and then it's like, you're Revan. I'm like, wait, all that badass shit I did? Yeah, but it was really bad. You don't want to do that.
I want to do it.
I think I kind of do.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, though. That's what's weird about it, though, is because, like, there's this thing where, you know, you're supposed to show the most interesting point in your character's life. Because, you know, if, like, am I playing, like, the most interesting part of this guy's life right now? No? Well, why am I not playing that?
Why am I not ripping black fucking holes into planets and fucking taking out entire races of people with my mind?
Yeah, yeah. Right? Like, why am I not doing that?
I'm running around with a fucking old black man and a couple people who don't know the fucking wrong from right.
Yeah. Still, though, like, that game did it well. And then, you know, in Knights of the Republic 2 introduces one of my favorite supporting characters of all time, Aden.
Who?
Aden, the Pazok Plan fucking torture-doing, like, smuggler character.
Yeah, okay, Aden, yeah.
Yeah, I fucking love that guy. He's one of my favorite things, because he's like, BioWare reused his character, too, when they did the first Dragon Age, the other Grey Warden, forget his name.
You know,
but it's even
Dragon
close,
Age,
close to
the
Aden.
First one I've been meaning to play.
Alistair.
Because it's Alistair, cool,
thank
I just
you.
Haven't invested all my time into it.
Yeah, but Aden's personality is reused in Alistair.
Alistair's pretty funny, because, like, I love it because you can never tell where he stands morally, because he always jokes about it.
Yeah, and when you fuck up your choice, you're like, wait a minute.
He's like, I don't know if I like that. But you're an alright person. Whatever. I gotta go, you know. You're like, wait, are you mad? I would be mad. I guess I'm not. Whatever. Like, you're like, I don't get this fucker. Like,
yeah, he plays all coy.
That's why I just ended up having sex with him anyway, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Throw him a bone.
Who's my favorite supporting character from Knights of the Old Republic? I'd have to say the classic HK-47.
Oh, that's understandable.
He's
pretty funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. Yeah, HK-47 is a good. He's a cool
no,
dude.
Actually, I'll take that back. I like Candace, or not Candace. Ordo. What's his first name?
Go to?
No, the fucking Mandalorian from the first game.
Is he called Mandalore?
Candarus Ordo.
Oh. Okay.
Who becomes Mandalore?
Oh, okay.
Candarus, man, because you sit down and he fucking tells you your war stories, and the whole time I'm like, oh my god, war stories, and I was just like, yeah. So excited. Then like that, like, and, like, the voice actor for him, just like the passion in that motherfucker's voice, recalling a memory that the voice actor didn't even do, was just so fucking perfect. When he talked about the first time he rode a Basilisk droid, you're like, fucking Basilisk droid, what the shit is this thing? And he tells me that story, and I just remember it was like every time, like, I would do a mission, I would come back and be like, oh, it's war story time, I'm so excited.
That's the cool thing about that game, and games by BioWare that do that, Because sometimes, even when the mission sucks, I'm like, oh, fuck. At least when it's done, I can go talk to peeps.
Yeah.
Like, which is awesome. I love that.
Yeah, that, right, which is that the is
thing
something
that,
cool.
Which is the thing that, like, Jade Empire was missing.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, what made Jade Empire not
Jade
so
Jade Empire
good.
Was missing a lot of things.
Yeah, but I'm just, like, I'm trying to be gentle because I love BioWare.
Yeah, the funny thing with Jade Empire is, like, when we first played that game, we liked it a lot. And now when I play it, it fucking sucks.
I couldn't get past the white guy.
The game is not that good. It sucks now.
The white guy that challenges you to the duel, the Englishman, that challenges to a duel, he's just like, your fist versus my gunpowder. And I'll be like, all right, I'll do it. And then that's where the game ended for me because I couldn't beat him and he couldn't go back on it.
Oh, I don't know, man. I beat it, so.
I didn't fucking beat it because I kept getting shot. Like, he'd be like, it is time! And he would shoot me and I'd die. It's like, you're dead.
I beat it way back when the game came out, but I didn't get to him again when I fucking...
I downloaded it again when I saw it on 360.
I downloaded it when it was on Steam sale. I was like, oh, maybe I can fucking play this game again, see what it was like. And then I was like, this game fucking sucks. Why did I like it?
Fucking milk. It is aged like milk. It is so bad.
Yeah, it's bad compared to the other BioWare games for sure.
Yeah, even the ones that came out at the same time, like Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah. I still haven't played Knights of the Republic.
It didn't even have interesting characters.
It didn't
Jade
really.
Jade Empire, no, not really.
That's what I mean. Like, Jade Empire was handicapped from the get-go because it didn't have very good characters. The voice acting was shit.
The combat was just—it was fucking dumb.
If you're gonna have a game with voices in it, don't go half-assed on your voice actors.
Yeah,
like you can't because a game has been like Elysian Tail and Rogue Galaxy and all those games are games that I love so much more because of the voice acting in them.
Especially that was a follow-up to Knights of the Old Republic. You can't fucking. Like, you can't, like, first off, you can't hold a fucking candle in the wind of that game when it comes to those format of
to
games.
That time period, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, Mass Effect did a fucking beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, Mass Effect was definitely the successor to that game that it needed to be.
I think Mass Effect is, like, one of the best games of all time, the trilogy.
Oh, yeah, that trilogy is amazing. It's
even
amazing
if people, trilogy. Even though people complain about the ending, and I'm not a fan
people
of the ending, the whole journey is
anything.
Fucking amazing.
Actually, what I'm learning in popular culture nowadays, especially
it's
the
all
last couple weeks, is people will fucking complain about anything. And once one person complains, someone's just like, that's my opinion, too! Fuck this! Like, example, the new Star Wars trailer. First it was the fucking lightsaber. Yeah. Well, how does that make fucking sense? And there was a couple fucking theories. I like Stephen Colbert's theory the best. It's one continuous fucking blade. If it goes through, it's not going to cut through the metal and hit your hand. The metal's there to protect your hand in the first place. Yada, yada, yada. And then everyone's like, okay, well, I guess that fucking makes sense. Why is there a black stormtrooper?
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't he a clone? I'm like, okay. I'm gonna fucking set this straight so people understand. I'm sure you guys don't give a fuck, and I'm pretty sure you guys
already
know. I
give a fuck.
How
dare you?
You give a fuck that there's a black stormtrooper?
Oh, no, I thought you meant about, like, Star Wars lore.
No, I meant the fact that there's a black stormtrooper.
No, I'd not give a fuck.
First off, you gotta look up, this is 30 years after the end of the first trilogy. So it's like 30 years, so that means it's 50 years after the start of an empire. When the Empire started 50 years ago, it was made from... There were the clones. The clones became the Stormtroopers, all
right? Right.
And so, you also, you know, that's one fucking thing. So the clones became the Stormtroopers. Well, those clones weren't remade because they got rid of that template because there were so many of them. They're also... Clones have a half-life of, like, maybe 20 years at most, if they live that long. Which they age quickly. They get out of service. Like they like 10, 15 fucking years later, they're useless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're old men. You know, so they fucking they either die in battle or they live like a fucking clone does in a retirement community where everyone looks the fucking same and they can't remember if they're the ones that woke up this morning or the other guy woke up this morning because no one knows who the fuck who's who.
Yep.
That sounds like a goddamn hilarious nightmare, but. You know, so the Empire started making new clones. And in Star Wars Battlefront 2, it's the story of the 501st, okay? The 501st is... it talks about how they got the new clones, and they're not used to the new guys because the new guys are different. They look different, they sound different, they act different, they think differently. Another thing is they talk about is Leia's comment in the first movie. Why aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? Insinuating that all stormtroopers who are clones are all clones of the same size. Which technically would be the case on that fucking starship because Darth Vader's there. Darth Vader's clones were Darth Vader's stormtroopers, the 501st, the Vader's Fist. Vader's Fist are clones from the Clone Wars. So they would all be the same. So insinuating that she says that would make sense. Also, 50 years later, does anyone know how the fucking empires work? Empires work because there's billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of stars out there with systems. There's hundreds of thousands of worlds out there that are controlled by the Empire. The Empire only has so many troops. So what they do is they get what's called auxiliaries. The Romans did it. Look it up. Rome did it. Think of clones as actual Roman cohort, like people from fucking Rome. Once they get out there, they gotta go back home at some point if they don't die. Mm-hmm. So they leave, so they make a new army of auxiliaries, people from the planets, people, just people. They become fucking stormtroopers. So it makes sense to have different colored, different races, different fucking, different sexes even, you know? The only reason we see is because you also got to remember the first Star Wars movies were made in a completely different time frame of society. It was the 1970s. I don't think women were allowed to vote. Wait, no, they were. That was wrong of me to say. It's 1970s, you know. But like, you know, there was still that huge stigma against against women. You know, this is right after Martin Luther King Jr. You know, so you still had the stigma of having highly successful black people in society. Mm-hmm. That's how the early 70s were, you know, growing up. And that and George Lucas is probably a fucking bigot. Let's be real.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like, how can we make Carrie Fisher a more interesting character? Let's make her a sex slave to a giant slug and put her in a sweet-ass bikini.
Well, to be fair, though, because, like, even, like...
It was super awesome.
Like, the EU, which, you know, of course doesn't exist anymore...
The European Union?
No, the Extended Universe. Asshole! But, like in the Old Republic version, like, the Empire is, like, historically xenophobic, so they don't even want, like, most alien races in there.
Right, yeah. That was the Sith Empire, though, in the Old Republic. Well, even the Old Republic itself was xenophobic. Like, if you weren't fucking human or human-like, you were
pissed
fucking,
on, yeah.
Yeah. Like the Republic allowed a corporation to enslave Keshek.
Yeah.
But being a Wookiee sucks, by the way. They've been
a Wookiee fucking sucks.
How many times have they been enslaved over the course of history?
Yeah. They're like the fucking Argonians of Star Wars.
Basically. Yeah. Basically.
That's exactly they worship big giant trees.
Yeah.
Everything below the fucking big giant trees is a dirty ass fucking swamp.
Yep.
They're enslaved by every other fucking race, and when there's a war to unenslave them, whoever unenslaved them enslaves them again. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, to name the Khajiits, it's just nonstop slavery all the time.
Yep. And then when they're finally free, they're allowed to go out in the world where everyone's just like, you filthy lizard, or you disgusting Wookiee.
Yep. being a Wookiee sucks, man.
Yeah, being a Wookiee blowed. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, why are people flipping out about a black stormtrooper? First off, the fucking clones weren't even white. They were fucking, like, Pacific Islander. Like,
yeah, they're just, yeah. They're all Samoan dudes.
Yep.
Which makes sense, because this guy's fucking crazy.
yeah, that's who I would want watching my back, for sure.
Well, I mean, like, and then, you know, it's just... It's fucking doesn't make sense. And like,
well, it's never gonna be. No one's gonna be happy.
Why are we Metacritic? First off, that is poorly timed to be pissed off by a black stormtrooper with all the fucking like civil fucking unrest going on in America right now. All of a sudden, like everyone's just like, oh, the fucking cops hate black people, and now everyone's like, Star Wars hates black people too. Like, I am 100%. For all human rights, for any kind of fucking right there is. Like, today I saw a fucking post about the Satanist church. Like, someone made, like, this really... It looked like a five-year-old made it, but it's like an angel burning, falling from heaven. And they put it up in a school because the school allowed freedom of religion in the school to be thing. So the Satanists were like, let's go do that. And everyone's like, fuck these godless heathens. They ain't allowed to do that. That's demonic shit. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Well, technically... technically it's their constitutional right. Like, let's be fair here. I mean, you guys can do it. Let's just be nice. Everyone get along. And if you don't like it, well, your opinion doesn't fucking matter because it's a constitutional right, bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, I am so upset by that kind of shit. Like, and the fact that it's invaded Star Wars, that hits home. Like, if you think about it, it really hits close to home. Because Star Wars, to me, is just an awesome-ass universe that's better than the worlds that we live in right now. I mean, granted, it imitates our own problems to an extent, but fucking, you have Han Solo rolling around with a goddamn Wookiee. You have fucking, you know, look at Knights of the Old Republic. You're rolling around with a fucking Cathar. Cathars blow. Like historically in Star Wars, like the worst fucking race of people. You know, and you get introduced to all these awesome fucking aliens. Each one have their own goddamn merits, and everyone somehow gets along unless you're a fucking Sith and you kill them anyways. But that has nothing to do because they're an alien. It's because they're in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because they're with you at the time when you decide to descend.
You know, and like, I'm really tired. Like, that whole Gamergate scandal is so fucking absurd.
Yeah, like Gamergate, and like, you can really tell like how like people are just like shitty about everything when you look at like Metascores, which are fucking disgusting. Like, even like the new Dragon Age game has like a fucking like 3, because most people are like, oh, I can't instead of romancing everybody else, I can't just like jack off my tent. 2 out of 10.
Yeah,
definitely 2 out of 10. And then, like, it takes like, if you get a 0 out of 10, it takes like 3 fucking 10 out of 10s to even get back to like a 7.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like the whole like thing just tanks everything.
It's unfortunate that like, and I know why it's coming to video games. Video games are becoming, it's a multi-billion-dollar franchise. It's becoming its own fucking economy. If you think about it,
it's not like it used to be.
Massive form of entertainment that it almost makes as much money as movies. In fact, some video games make hell of a lot more money than like blockbuster fucking movies. Like, let's look at like Grand Theft fucking Auto 5.
Yep.
Like, that made mind blowing amounts of fucking money.
Doesn't even need to advertise itself.
It had a huge ass advertising.
Yeah, but it's literally just like the picture of the character in Grand Theft Auto 5. It has nothing to do with like what the game is.
And then, this game, you can fly airplanes and shoot guns. And you can rob things. Everyone's like, fucking awesome. It's just what I wanted.
Yeah, but everyone already, the thing is, like, the game, like, the company already knows that.
Right.
Like,
by the way, though, that game was awesome.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, though, is that the game, like, they don't even need to do anything anymore. They're just like, look at this guy. Grand Theft Auto. You're going to buy it.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Like, that's it, though. That's all they have to do. There's not even an advertising campaign anymore. It's really just like...
Shit, even Grand Theft Auto brought its own scandals to the fucking board. But honestly, the one thing I like about Grand Theft Auto, though, is that there was nothing about... I mean, there was no scandal about racism. Because everyone's just like, oh, you play as Trevor. He's just a fucking racist redneck. Yeah, and then those developers were like, yeah, that's true. You can play as a black guy. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, good point. Good point.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, is that like even when you think of like Left 4 Dead 2, like, the only, like, the most relatable character in that game is the black guy. Like, he's the most normal character.
Yeah.
No, I meant Left 4 Dead 1. I'm sorry.
Left 4 Dead 1 is
Francis, whatever.
No, Francis is the biker.
Biker.
Lewis.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2, all I did was play Nick all the time. Because I felt like he was the most relatable character at that point.
Oh, no, Nick from... Who's the little guy? Kill all sons of bitches. My official instructions.
What's his name?
He gets fucked by...
Is it Nellis?
Shrek.
Ellis.
There we go.
Ellis gets fucked by Shrek, and Shrek is love.
Shrek is life.
Yeah.
It's all ogre now. I love that fucking cartoon.
It is awesome. I guess we're done talking about Dust, because I didn't play much.
I've already given the synopsis.
I honestly did not do my homework on this game, but it's because I was not really that intrigued or interested by it.
Which is fair, but we touched on like the main points. We all agree that the voice acting is superb. Well, me and him do. You didn't really listen to it.
No, I did. Then, you didn't. like the voice acting. He didn't like the voice acting. Right. I did.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't think you even heard the voice acting.
The voice acting I did not skip through. I liked it.
But we know it's gorgeous. We can agree the game's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, the game is fucking amazing.
And the controls are extremely responsive.
Yeah, and the controls are good.
Platforming spot on.
Yeah.
For like the parts that aren't like overdone, it is spot on. Like it controls like butter.
Oh, that reminds me. Okay, just remember the pun shit for the end of the episode.
I will.
With the game we're going to play next week.
I am so fucking excited for the game we're going to play next week.
Let's just announce it now.
Okay, hold on, Risotto.
Hold on. What?
Anticipation.
No, you have to say it right. It's anticipation.
I just want to finish up, like, put an official, like, we're fucking done stamp
so
on
Dust. So we should do, like, the two-word review then?
One-word review.
One word review.
Okay, two-word.
Stepping up our game.
Two-word review. Nate.
Boring shit.
Paul.
Beautiful, responsive.
Whatever.
Whatever is a good one too. I mean, some people can play this game. I'm not into it. I mean, if you like furry shit, because I know there's people who do like when, and you know, I never mentioned this, and Don't Starve because of all the mods, because we never talked about the mods in that game.
Yeah.
I was like looking through all the character mods. So I was trying to find ones that I like to find things that match the feel of the game. I did that in Oblivion too. So, I was trying to find characters that looked like characters that would belong in the Don't Starve universe. And there's like, I had to go through pages and pages of furry fucking characters just to find the ones I liked. There's so fucking many of them. Like, they have like the fox that holds its tail and it's scared. It's like, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, and you just want to yiff the shit out of it?
I just want to fucking yiff it.
Well, that's the thing, though, like, you look at any mods for fighting games, which is like a genre I'm very familiar with.
Yeah.
Like, the first thing you see is like bikini mods for characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the second like they can take Cammy out of that fucking leotard and into something quote unquote more revealing.
It's not. When it comes to Cammy, I will admit though, as soon as she's out of leotard, it's not sexy anymore.
It's not as effective. But like they put like Juri in like bikinis and stuff like that, which I understand because Juri's like super skanky anyway. But then like they'll put like Sakura.
What fucking female Street Fighter character isn't
Sakura?
Was she in Street Fighter 2? Fuck it, no! I don't know who that is!
You played Street Fighter since Street Fighter fucking 2?
No!
Oh my god.
That's why I speak so highly of Street Fighter 2 when we talk about Street Fighter. You're like, man, I love Street Fighter. I'm like, I love Street Fighter 2! I don't mean as well.
Okay, touche.
Miscommunication. Miscommunication. So next week.
Probably should have clarified that earlier.
Right. Yeah, it would have been nice.
Alright, so I'm going to let Paul make the announcement for next week's game because he's fucking excited.
I am Brent. I ruined it
for you. Oh,
you
fucking dick! You fucking guy!
Fucking let down!
Son of a bitch.
That's fair because I've kind of shit on you for the last like 2 weeks.
It's fine.
Revenge. Oh my god. Okay, so yeah, we're playing I Am Bread next week, which is
so fucking exciting.
Oh my god.
Brief synopsis.
I don't even know how I fucking feel.
Fucking crumb everywhere.
Slice of bread on an adventure
to become toasted.
Yeah, okay. So when Paul asked me about it last night, he's like, dude, we should play I Am Bread for next week's episode. It's the yeast we can do. And it's just that started the longest fucking pun war ever. Because then I was like, yeah, we could play I Am Bread for next week's episode. And what was the whole fucking transcript? You got your phone?
I think I have my phone on me. Right? Yeah.
Okay, Paul pulling out the fucking phone with our whole text conversation.
Let's do it.
And
I'm trying to think of bread puns.
No, dude, we fucking covered them all.
I was like, that's great. Like, you have no idea how glad I am. I loaf you, buddy. You say, it butter be good. I'm going to have to get toasty for that episode. It's like, I'm pretty sure it'll make you crumb. said, I'm under the impression it'll make me rye by the sound of it. So don't get crusty before we even start. I have the feeling it'll rise to the occasion. See, he said, it's probably going to be one of those games that is barely playable by the sound of it. And said, I'm only agreeing to play it because of all the bun puns. And he said, sound of it twice, so I sound retarded. I said, that is pretty retarded. Maybe because you're inbred. And seriously, though,
is it spelled bread?
Yes. we need to play this. He said, you were mean for pun's sake, and it was totally fucking worth it. He said, it looks like Octodad, who is the sole breadwinner of his family. I said, yeah, but I think this game will be jam-packed with fun. I wish you weren't insisting on being so sour, though. And he said, I woke up on the wrong side of the bread this morning. And then he begged for it to cease. He said, can we stop, please? And then, of course, I hit him with the 1-2 combo punch of puns. I feel oh your grain, buddy. It's hard to roll out of bread in the morning. Sometimes I just feel half-baked.
Yeah.
And after that, I was just spent.
That's like all the bread puns.
I was like, I'm done because I can't think of it anymore.
Pun was good, though. Yeah. I don't know why you insist on being sourdough.
Yeah.
I was so proud of myself. Yeah, it was a good run, but 45 minutes of exquisite puns later.
Yeah.
We're now playing I Am Bread for this week's podcast. Totally fucking worth it.
The only reason why I'm fucking playing the game is because I fucking engaged in a pun war and now I'm fucking stuck.
On the topic of bread, my friend's bakery burnt down.
Oh, really?
His business is toast.
Oh! There it is. And the puns never ceased.
Oh god, it's so good.
I was on point the other fucking night.
I guess the puns never yeast. Boom. Oh no.
I'm excited for the game.
Dude, I'm so fucking stoked.
The PlayStation conference is up in Vegas this weekend. I don't even know what the fuck that means, but I know like a couple people are going to it. So we'll see if I can get some insider info for next one.
Cool. Tell them to get us some swag too.
Fuck that.
PS4.
Like a whole PS4.
Yeah, can you get us a whole PS4 swag?
Yeah, see if you could do that. Like it's for a podcast.
Yeah,
sort of.
Can you get three of them, please?
Let's get three, or we could just maybe one, and then like a tent with a Wi-Fi connection.
Or we pass it around like a. I don't know.
A PS whore?
Oh, okay.
Fuck. I was going to say a condom, but that would have just been weird. And it was a bad
Who passes condoms around? Who the fuck does that? Dude, I just finished using this one. You want to use it now? Yes, sure, bro.
Just fucking rinse it out. It's fine.
Just rinse it out. It'll be good. It's still
put
usable.
It inside out.
Dude, I spent like a fucking like $5 on this box of condoms. I got to make them last. No.
Fuck. No, man.
Like, there aren't enough lambs in the country for me to get supplied with enough condoms. I need to flip these inside.
Fucking hang dry.
Oh, God. Oh, that reminds me of
one of the reusable, silicone condoms.
There's the condom thing reminds me of that time we were driving around with Ryan, and Ryan was chewing on... something. Well, he was chewing on bubble gum, but he said it tasted like plastic. And then I was like, "Are you sure you're not chewing on a rubber?" And then Josh is all like, "He's like, why are all the bubbles I'm blowing look like dicks?" Ryan lost his fucking shit so hard he did his retarded
laugh.
It's
so fun to watch Ryan go fucking full retard. It's so much fun.
He goes. Whatever he fucking does where he gets all high-pitched.
So, do we want to talk about our tabletop RPG?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we finally found a system for the tabletop RPG. It's called Traveler, and it's a an older model system. I actually had never heard of it before, but apparently it's like one of the most... recognizable sci-fi ones. Like, I've never really gotten to sci-fi or tabletops for a while, but it's looking really promising, and I got it. So we are going to have a space theme RPG going on, and Anyone's welcome to join for the most part so far. I can't think of what I'm excited for is actually the reason I got it is because it's a simple, easy fucking system. Stupid easy. It's not D&D. You don't need a whole bag of dice. You need... Basically, you can play with Yahtzee dice and you win. Like, you just need D6. Like, yeah. You only need, like, the most you need is three of them for a fucking gun or something like that. Mm-hmm. And the character creation is a game in its own. I'm excited about that. So I will be putting together a campaign here soon, and we'll be playing. I'll get really into it. We'll maybe broadcast it, maybe not. I don't know if we've decided that far yet.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to do, like, a few practice runs and get into the mood.
The spirit, yeah.
The spirit of it.
So just make, like, a practice storyline, I guess.
I will. I was going to make the practice storyline space Breaking Bad.
Cool.
Okay.
So that'll be our practice run. Maybe we'll talk about it, but we won't broadcast it, probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you make your masterpiece, we'll actually do the entire thing on podcast.
Yep.
Let's make a separate show for it.
Yeah, it'd be like a sub-series. I'm totally down for that.
Yeah.
So
it could still be like...
We can even
instead of calling ourselves Game & Watchmen, it would be like...
Dungeon Pals!
Well, I mean, it would be something similar to Game & Watchmen.
We'll call it Traveler's Tales.
Yeah.
Appreciate it's copyrighted.
I know Traveler's Tales the game is. This is... Fuck you. It's not.
Or we could just... Like, what about just like Travelers and Watchmen, just so it's like under the same theme? I don't know. Fuck it.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole deliberation. We don't need to discuss it on the podcast, really.
Yeah, we'll rock, paper,
scissors over it,
yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know.
Well, I was trying to go for fucking alliteration, but, you know.
Well, if you want, that's fine.
Just all right, well.
However you want to do it, you're the DM, so.
You guys have any gaming news?
Besides, no, like, the Metacritic shit, not really. That was just something I noticed the other day.
Metacritic is worse.
About how, like, everything is negative now. Like, there's no positivity whatsoever.
There's really no positivity in the news in any form. Whatsoever. I mean, granted, like, video game news isn't actually... What? I keep getting fucking hair from your floor on me. Like, this is gross.
Deal with it.
But, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some of the things that I saw in the news, some of the things that have been announced, and I wrote them down, and I don't remember.
You know, like, weirdly, as much as I'm into video games, I've been keeping up less with video game news and more with, like, actual current
games,
news.
Yeah.
No, not, well,
that's
the actual,
because
actual
current
games,
news is
but the current news
super
too.
Interesting right now.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
I don't
even want
to fucking talk about it because video games are your escape from actual fucking news.
I know that
well, yeah,
a,
definitely.
A
that's, I've been
around.
Wanting to avoid it too because of, you know, nobody. If people are listening to this are like listening because they want to listen about video games, not about like the fucking people that are getting killed by cops at the moment. You know?
Yeah.
So. Dragon Age Inquisition won the Game of the Year.
Oh, really?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I want to play it. It's just. A little too expensive right now.
There's a new No Man's Sky gameplay trailer. If anyone, no one here has ever heard of No Man's Sky, fucking look it up.
Yeah, well, that reminds me. Remember I sent you a link. Okay, well, so remember we were talking about Star Citizen. And, yeah. Like,
oh,
you know,
God.
He said that Star Citizen, you know, they've been making a lot of money and shit. And they're like, yeah, I just took his word for it. I didn't really know too much about it. And I saw an article saying that they are currently selling a ship in-game for real money for $300.
There's
and this isn't
Packers
like a player
pack,
selling
yeah.
to another player. This is actually the company is selling a $300 fucking ship to the players. It's pay to win for fucking sure. And that is fucking ridiculous.
That's not true.
Well, okay, maybe not.
The ship you get fits a certain niche in the game.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know about myself. I'm probably
what, $300 pay gate to play a certain way in the game.
Well, okay, you can also get packages in that game for about $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
If you drop down $2,500, you get like a couple current ships, permanent insurance on them. Which, trust me, in those games, you're gonna fucking need insurance. But what the thing is you're insuring.
Hold on a second. Are you saying like this is in-game money that you're insuring your purchases with, or are you actually saying that you actually buy insurance for a fucking ship in a video game in case it fucking blows up?
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Because, okay, example, in I play Elite Dangerous. It's the same thing as Star Citizen, except I'm not buying into Star Citizen now because that game scares the living shit out of me. I mean that from like a buyer's perspective because it's not complete yet. But okay, so when I first talked about
another game like that though that used real money. And, like, people were, like, scamming all kinds of shit off
of it. Oh, you're, like, Eve online?
Is that it? Yeah. Eve?
Yeah. I made so much money doing that shit. But anyways.
The game is ruled by fucking pirates.
Star Citizen, we said they made, like, $6 million. That was actually wrong. The actual number somewhere around, like, I think, what was it?
It's like 9 point something.
$60 million?
$60 million.
Bro, yeah. That game has made mad amount of money, and it's continuing to make mad amount of money.
I mean, are you surprised they're selling $300 fucking dollar ships?
But
like fucking ship, you can put that towards buying a fucking car in real life.
With as much money as you dump into Eve, you could probably build your own fucking ship.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, yeah. No, that's different. Yeah, I guess. Okay, so
you can build your.
I don't know. I don't like Eve.
You can build your own play ship to play around in. Yeah.
I don't like Eve. Because you can't actually directly control your ship. It's an MMO. You click and your ship does shit. Mm. And you kind of tell it a little bit where to go. You don't actually pilot it. In this game, you're an actual fucking pilot. Mm-hmm. You actually pilot your ship. Eventually, you're going to be able to, in the middle of space, get up and walk around your ship. And eventually, you're going to be able to get up, walk around your ship, leave your ship, invade someone else's ship, shoot them in the back of the fucking head, and take their ship. Like, that's the kind of game that they're trying to make. You can walk around the space stations with other people and actually see them and interact with them first person instead of just being in a ship the whole time, which, you know, the immersion in these space sims are getting big. Space simulators are my favorite fucking games because I love space because it's not Earth and I fucking hate this planet.
Yeah.
Watch the news. I hate this fucking planet.
Word.
Mm. So, the thing with fucking Star Citizen is the reason I don't buy into it, even though I should. The game looks amazing. It has all the fucking things I want in a space simulator, and it's going to have even more and more of the things I want in a space simulator, but it's not complete right now.
No.
They've released a couple kind of maps, a couple kind of things, and says, this is the game, this is what you're going to be able to play, but you have to buy a ship to play the game. Mm-hmm. So the only way to buy a ship right now is with real money, because there's no in-game economy right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have to do it. So it's like their version of a new Kickstarter is, oh, now we got to, because you Kickstarted us the first time with $60 million goddamn dollars, I guess we'll give you some working version of this game, but in order to play it, you got to give us even more money, and that's our version of Kickstarter. Also, you can buy our towels, our mugs, our shirts, our jackets, our merchandise already.
Yeah.
Which is, that's cool. Why merchandise something that doesn't exist yet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... And so I'm scared. What I'm scared about the game is that developer has made so much damn money.
He might just cut and run to New Zealand to be done with it.
If he cut and run, he would be honestly better off because he has made more money
funding
a game that doesn't exist than he would if he made it with his own pocket or with a developer and sold the game.
Yeah, that would also probably be like one of the biggest scam heists in history. If he just fucking took all the money and didn't give anybody a fucking game.
Bro, I would...
Jump out of a fucking plane.
I haven't bought that game. Mm. I would flip my shit because I'm excited for the game, but you see why I don't buy into the game. Why should I spend $300 of my own money to get a freelancer? I think that's what the name of the ship is. It's like a free something. Which is funny because on their website, if you actually go to their website, they have they have car commercials for the new Chevy truck. They have a commercial for the ship.
Mm-hmm.
The $300 ship that you can buy, they have a commercial for it. It's like, because you want the confidence to know you can take care of anything. And if you need to haul it, well, the blah, blah, blah starship has this kind of cargo bay. So if you need to haul it, you know you can. And with a faster than light travel speed of blah, 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 you know you can get there. The new blah, blah, blah. For when you need to know that you need to be tough. It's like, it's a fucking... it's shitty like that. But it's an actual commercial like that. And it's you know, I love when real life and, fake life kind of become molded in that sense.
Right.
When, there's advertising. I love that. I think that's fucking cool. That builds my immersion. I love immersion. Immersion's a huge part of why I play RPGs. A huge part of why I play a tabletop RPGs, because when you play a tabletop RPG,
you fucking live it.
Fucking character.
Yeah, you live that.
You know,
shit.
You're not Nasty Nate. You're, you know, like, okay, maybe you are Nasty Nate. You just go by a different name, you know? Yeah. Like, you're no longer Paul Schmidt. You're fucking Grognar the fucking dick butt, smaculent fucking butt McCracken. Like,
fucking the Bulbarian.
Butt McCracken.
Butt McCracken. And, you know, like, that's
I might actually end up be what I saddled with, actually.
Don't be Butt McCracken.
It might have to be now.
Dude, you should be Grognar the Butt Kraken.
The butt, like, I'm just like a fucking giant
Kraken
squid.
With a giant fucking ass for a face. Yeah, with Traveler, tentacles coming out of it.
My rule in Traveler is you have to be human.
Aww.
I can do that, man.
Because as a new dungeon master to it, I don't want to have to fuck around with like
different
aliens
cultures
and shit.
And shit. Yeah. Makes
like,
sense.
You'll come across aliens, but you're most likely going to kill them. So, that being said, I guess it's going to be a very
Xenocide.
Racist
I'm stoked to play this fucking tabletop RPG. I'm not gonna lie, I'm pretty fucking excited.
Well, what we're gonna do is I'll tell you about character generation after this because I actually do. If we're gonna do the big thing, I want to do character generation in the podcast because character generation.
It's important.
When you roll dice, it builds you a backstory for your character that you fill in the fine points for. So
like
it molds
Mad Libs.
So full. Yeah, it's basically a character sheet Mad Lib that you play through and you roll dice and you could fucking die in character. Creation.
I'm so fucking excited for this. Oh my god.
Like, you can, like, it's like, oh, you want to be a pilot? Well, congratulations, Sonny. Roll your survival check to see if you make it through this 4 years of in the Navy. You crash and die. Re-roll a new character.
See, like, I am so excited. Like, these next couple weeks in this podcast are super exciting for me. I get to play as a piece of bread, and I get to play as a fucking space pirate. I am so fucking excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be excellent. Yeah. I think I'm really excited to do tabletop RPGs again. It's really exciting for me. I haven't done this in a long time, a long, long time. Because one of my close friends that I did it with actually passed away, and it's just like he owned a lot of the books, and he was like the guy I like played it pinged off of. Because everyone else was like a casual tabletop gamer. Like, they would just kind of show up and be like, I'm here to play. Let's roll some dice. Oh, I'm this character. I want to do badass stuff. But, like, he knew the rules, so he was, like, my checks and balances in the game. Where mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, you totally do that. That's against the rules. God damn it. You know, like, and I know, so not having that's going to be, like, I guess inhibited to me, and so it's going to be, like, a new step for me. So I'm excited to do it because I'm excited to get back into it because it's a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. Just creating stories. It's a lot, hell of a lot more interesting than writing a book, which everyone's like, you should write a book, Josh. I love it when you write your short stories. Which my short stories is me going, I'm going to write a book. And then I stop at like chapter two. I'm like, I'm going to play video games. And I just never come back to it.
It's a short story.
See, yeah. So I'm excited because it's like a new, like, budding passion of mine because I really want to get into it. Like, I really want to get into it.
Yeah,
like,
no,
what
I like about this game is a lot of people are really timid when it comes to actually role playing itself. Like, they can understand the rules, they can roll the fucking dice, deal with the fucking combat, and listen. But it's actually getting involved with the characters that I put in front of you and get involved with the situations and actually thinking about the situations instead of me going, you're in a black room, you don't know how you're going to get out. And everyone just kind of sits there going, do I roll dice? What dice do I roll? Instead of, and I want my characters to be like, okay, I do a search check. Is there a light switch?
Yeah, instead of asking questions.
Yeah, like actually taking the initiative forward and going, this is what I'm going
to
do.
The game world.
Do I need to do a roll for this? I'm going to do a roll for this just because I don't fucking trust the DM because I get this like twinkle in my eye when I'm about to fuck everyone up. And everyone knows. And like, I'm like, someone's like, I go into the room and I'm like, you sure you want to do that? They're like, if they say yes, they're a noob. If they say, I think I'll roll a listen check. And I'm like secretly behind them. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so excited. I really am.
Yeah. I really want to have, you know, I want to have serious fun with it. Like, I want to have like a serious story.
Like structured fun. Like, yeah. Like,
yeah, structured fun, but I want you guys to have fucking fun with it. And like, if I'm going to put this is the way I dungeon master. I'm going to let everyone know right now. When I put a story in front of you, if you don't fucking like the story, change the goddamn story. Your character, you're hired by someone to take a fucking cargo of sensitive information to a planet. And they're like, I don't think I want that job. I'm going to go to the bar and have a fight. I'm like, all right. And I'll make a story. Like, fuck it, all right. Well, you're arrested on your way to a prison planet. Well, and then you guys escape. You guys take over the prison thing. Start a fucking riot. The Empire comes at you. You shoot the shit out of them. All of a sudden, now you're fucking space pirates going out into the world, jerking off and everything, stealing what's rightfully yours. And the whole time, there's still a mission back on the fucking planet where it's like, who's going to take my shit to Kessel League? It's still there. You can go back to it whatever the fuck you want to. It's like Morrowind.
Yeah.
You, when you get Kasai's package, you look at it, you drop it on the ground and be like, I'm going somewhere else. And you, I remember I actually, I've never beaten Morrowind. Oh, God.
Drop the microphone.
I'm going to drop the microphone.
Critical failure.
It he rolled one.
Everything gets fucked up.
Oh, let me fix that. We're not holding microphones this whole time. We actually have stands. But,
fun fact.
Yeah. I never beat Morrowind because, there was the one character I had that totally could have fucking done it. I, came out and it's like, just take this to Cassius Kosides and you can go on an epic quest. And I, walked out. I'm like, all right, my backpack. Package for size. And I just dropped it on the ground. I'm like, let's go! And I went to Solstheim. I came back. I went to Mournhold. I came back at, level 15. I walk into Cassius. He's like, and who are you? And I'm like, I'm here for the quest. I don't recognize you. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not part of the Blades. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? You're the Emperor's Head. I'm the Neverend, remember? And he's like, I don't know who you are. I don't know. I was like, oh, yeah, I need the package. And I couldn't fucking find it because I don't know where I dropped it.
Womp, womp.
Yeah. And so, I like, have you ever read the Morrowind Handbook? How they describe Morrowind is it's Thanksgiving dinner. You don't have to fucking eat turkey. It's there if you want to, but you can literally get full and eat your whole entire dinner on just the sides.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about Morrowind. So what I love about that's what I want in my tabletop games is I put a story in front of you. There's, and the way I do it is in the background, I have a timer and events change the world around you. Like there's a war going on or something like that. If you fucking want to get up and at them and solve the fucking problem of the war, by all means, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to. You can go to the outskirts of the fucking... of the universe and eat somebody. So
yeah,
I'm excited. I'm glad you're excited.
Dude, I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm literally stoked.
You excited?
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm stoked for bread. Huh? I'm stoked for piracy.
Oh, I'm so stoked for bread.
Yeah. I'm so happy.
I'm fucking bready.
Oh, that was a good one. I like that. Yeah, there you go. There it was. There it was. Josh came through at the end.
I did it. I did it.
All right. So that's gonna wrap it up for this podcast then.
Yep.
So I am Brad next week, and possibly we will get the traveler thing going after we do some practice.
Booted up, yeah.
We really need to find some people who want to play with us.
I'm pretty sure I have somebody.
Oh yeah.
You know, this we'll have to do
the
it
girlfriend.
On, well,
yeah.
Okay.
We should probably do it on a Saturday because I have Saturdays off,
mm-hmm.
and I think that means we can do it any time Saturday.
Yeah.
After 3.
Yeah. I can probably work it out on Saturdays too. Mm-hmm. After I get off at 5-ish, because I can usually finagle my way into getting Sundays off, so we can probably you can play for a good while, and I wouldn't feel it.
Yeah. So we're looking to get 3 extra people if the girlfriend can't make it. You know.
Yeah, I'm hoping
we
can.
Have people, but
we're looking for a 5. Five person
to this podcast.
Group.
If you want to fucking do it with us, you have to answer my question.
Oh, here we go.
What game came out in? Oh my god, I need my phone.
Okay, you don't remember. You don't remember, and yet you expect them.
No, I remember. I just.
That's the riddle.
That's the riddle. What game came out?
What game came out? ..
Yes, figure it out.
Yeah.
I know what it is.
What's the name of the game?
What game came out in 2001 is possibly one of the greatest games ever, and I mentioned it in the last podcast.
What game is it?
I'm not fucking telling you. We're on the podcast.
I just took a peek at the answer, and I feel pretty proud of myself that I knew that.
Right. Yeah.
I feel pretty fucking proud of myself.
Because that's the only game I'd pick.
Yeah,
that's also the only game of consequence that came out in 2001, in my opinion. But I also don't remember any other games.
It's made by a now like mostly defunct company.
Yeah,
if that helps anybody.
Get anybody any more hints?
Oh come on!
That's a pretty lenient hint.
If I can't fucking think of it, how are they going to think of it?
Okay, I'll give you a personal hint. Okay.
They probably made some of your most favorite games.
The song that we listened to in the car,
okay,
reminds you of one game.
Yeah,
and this company made this game.
Okay, I know, and I'm pretty sure now I know what it is.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, this company made basically all of your favorite games
ever
that you used to play as.
No, I'm just no. There's no more hints.
Oh my god. All right, so that's the end of the podcast. I am Nate.
I'm Paul.
And I am Brad.
Thanks. Oh, Brad.
Kill streak.
Boom. Bye.